pray Moses is either you have not attended, or secondly, you have not registered.
اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والعاقبة للمتقين ولا عدوان إلا على البغاة الظالمين والصلاة والسلام على خير خلق الله أجمعين سيدنا محمد سيد الأولين والآخرين وكذا الصلاة والسلام على آله الطيبين الطاهرين وارض اللهم عن صحابة رسول الله المخلصين المحسنين المتقين وعمن اتبع النبي بإحسان وتمسك بالثقلين إلى يوم الدين. I think this is from yesterday, this question. I urge the brothers to again try to ask verbally and the sisters to write. Otherwise, we will have like newspapers. And I don't like reading, as you can tell. Especially if it's not printed. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. A friend was using a tasbih after a prayer. Another sister saw her using it and asked her why you use it. And then my friend replied to keep count when she is making dhikr. The sister then said, we should not use a tasbih because on the Day of Judgment, a person's fingers will light up to show or testify that she makes dhikr. If this is true, does that mean if you use it, it will not be rewarded, etc.? I think I get your question. We are, according to the Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi, we are encouraged to comply with certain numbers. In other words, here's a hadith in Sahih Muslim. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in Sahih Imam Muslim said, I make istighfar every day 70 times. In another narration, also in Sahih Muslim, 100 times. So we have some certain numbers to comply. Of course, also, you know, the other numbers, for example, after the salah, 33 times, subhanallah, 33 times, Alhamdulillah, 33 times, Allahu Akbar. The sunnah is that you make tasbih with your hands, with your fingers, after the salah. Subhanallah, 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 Alhamdulillah, Alhamdulillah, Allahu Akbar, etc. This is the sunnah. And those who do that, inshallah, with this intention to follow the sunnah will be rewarded. And everyone is encouraged to do that. Some people, they want to do istighfar 350 times. Or 373 times. Or 929 times. Just out of their own taste. I feel today, yesterday I made istighfar 150, today I'm going to make 151. Personal goals. Personal goals. And they feel that they need something to help them to keep count. And this masbah or this tasbih is something that can reach the objective. So they're not switching the sunnah after the salah with the tasbih, but therefore on their personal count, they help that. There's nothing wrong with that unless you think that people should not go to the school or to job using the car. They should use the mules that they used in the old days. So that's one. Number two, there are weak ahadith. I say weak again, so you don't say I'm trying to say. But the weak, that doesn't mean they're forged or fabricated. Weak doesn't mean they're forged. And weak doesn't mean fabricated. Through Sayyidah Aisha radiallahu anha, that she used, like you said, the little stones. And Sayyidina Abu Hurairah also, radiallahu anhu, who used to also, he used to have a line, and he would tie it. He ties on it. And that's also a weak hadith, but it's something to use. Now, will your Fingers testify? Definitely. Will anything else testify? Everything will testify. Do these things see and talk? In the day of judgment, everything around you will testify. The walls will testify. Earth will testify. Heavens will testify. All these things testify. You look at these things just because you see that they don't move or they don't look lively to you. Don't think that they don't have life. Everything, it has his own kind of life. And everything does tasbih to Allah. These things, everything does tasbih to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in kullu shay'in said in kullu shay'in illa yusabbihu bihamdihi. Everything does tasbih to him. So, in that sense, everything does tasbih, and there shouldn't be a problem with that, because there's no prohibition to that. And it's not exchanging the sunnah for something that's not sunnah. So some people want to keep a certain number of count, and that helps them do that. Inshallah, there's no problem with that. And it is recommended for those who can't keep count, so they can keep the exact count, so they can move up and improve their ibadah, inshallah. Now, what is the period for iddah, widow, and is it correct that a woman on iddah cannot leave the house unless necessary? Yes, that is correct, of course. And there are different kinds of iddah. There are two kinds of iddah, iddah talaq wa iddah, the one that her husband passed away, so... Inshallah, you seek that with your local scholars, and it's very clear in the Quran. Dear Sheikh, we need to join a tariqah. I'm sorry. Do we need to join a tariqah for spiritual development? If not, how do we go about developing ourselves spiritually? Yes, everyone must join a tariqah for their spiritual development. And the tariqah is the tariqah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi. The tariqah of book and sunnah first. Then you join that tariqah, inshallah, by saying La ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah, and practicing that La ilaha illallah, not just saying it. After you practice La ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah, you acquire knowledge of many things, and you follow the tariqah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi, then you may get involved in the schools of Ihsan. The schools of Ihsan, which means different schools that after you have practiced Islam, practiced Iman, know what is for you, what is against you, you're motivated, you're highly motivated individual who seeks higher spiritual levels and very high dedications, then you can join some of these schools who train you to be a muhsin, schools of Ihsan. If you want to call them tariqah, that's fine. But in Bukhari it says Ihsan. And those schools train you to worship Allah as if you are seeing Him, though you won't see Him, but He sees you. And the way that you develop yourself spiritually is by, number one, acquiring knowledge and then practicing knowledge. Acquiring knowledge and practicing it. And that's how you develop yourself spiritually. In other words, you develop yourself spiritually by practicing the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You're walking like you're walking with the ayah of the Quran all the time. But the problem has been, tasawwuf, of course, is something that which we call really ihsan. I call tasawwuf ihsan because ihsan was in Bukhari. And like I said, ihsan is that you worship Allah as you see Him, though you don't see Him, but He sees you. This is the third, after we go through Islam, Iman, you go to Ihsan. This is like the top of the building, the 100th floor of the building. If you were to build a building, the 100th floor would be this one. Now some people wish to go to the 100th floor before going to the first floor. You can't do that. Therefore they spend all their lives learning about the tasawwuf, but they're not learning about tawheed, they're not learning about Quran, and that doesn't work that way. Therefore, you have to go through all these levels to understand, and then you go then to tasawwuf, or you go to ihsan really, and then you worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now you know who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is, so you can worship Him. And tasawwuf is about worshipping Allah more than the average person. That's what tasawwuf is really. In other words, being a Sufi is taklif, not tashrif. Taklif means more accountabilities, more responsibilities, not more honors. In other words, not more ranks in front of people. Not more medals in front of people. You know, I'm here, I belong to this tariqah, and I am this, and I'm this. No, no. That's not what tasawwuf is all about. Tasawwuf is more about doing more things, more dhikr. You're standing up all night long, every 3 days, every 4 days, and praying to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Every day you have your durood. Of course, those of you who go into the tasawwuf, inshallah, may Allah all make you all go into the roads of ihsan. Because that's only for those who are fortunate. Of course, once you go there, you know that among your word will be up to one juz'ah of the Quran every day. Barakallahu fiqh. Some people now say, they give me astaghfirullah, Allahumma salli ala Sayyidina Muhammad wa ala Sayyidina Muhammad, la ilaha illallah 100 times. That's just for that free beginner. But then you go, and the mashayikh and the scholars and tasawwuf, they have, some people have one chapter a day, some people have two chapters of the Quran a day, some people have three chapters of the Quran a day, some people among their word, then addition to that, a hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam every day. Thousands of times in durood, Allahumma salli ala Sayyidina Muhammad wa ala ali Sayyidina Muhammad, all these things. It's not just like a prayer, you know, I want to belong here, I want to belong here. What do you have to offer first? How dedicated are you? Do you really belong to that, to those worshippers who have really left the dunya behind, and to them gold and sand is of equal value? Or is it just being... having another card membership so you can say, I belong to this club. That's not what tasawwuf is all about. So once those people, inshallah, do these things, then they can go into the extra worship, and they can do thousands of istighfars, and they can follow, of course, scholars. In any way, in fiqh or in tawheed or in ihsan or all these things, you must follow, in a sense, for guidance. You have to actually follow those who are of knowledge, trustworthy, and authorized, so they can lead you to the right way. And Allah knows best. Is it possible to see the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam in the waking state? And is this a sign of wilaya khasa? It is possible to see him sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam in the wake and at night. May Allah enrich us all and honor us all with that. What should you do if you're very angry to calm yourself down? Say astaghfirullah al-azim, go make wudu and make two rak'ahs and say salam and salat and salam on the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. If a non-mahram cousin comes to stay as a guest for approximately 6 months, ooh, that's a long stay. He's moving in other words. Yeah, and as you know, the guest is for 3 days. According to the Arabic tradition, the guest is for 3 days. After that, we don't ask him. According to our tradition is, anyone who comes to your house, supposedly in the old days, you don't ask him the first 3 days what his name is or where he comes from. You don't ask him any questions. All you do is you provide for him food and sleep. The first 3 days. After that, you don't ask him, and you keep giving him, but it's sadaqah now. Now it's sadaqah. First was a guest. But if you feed him after on the fourth day and the fifth day and so on, then it becomes sadaqah.
Naam. Sallu ala Rasulullah wa ala.
Therefore, Al-Imam Ibrahim al-Mujab al-Darir, he's one of the big scholars of the family of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi. He's the first one who lived in a place called Ninawa, this village. Imam Ibrahim al-Darir al-Mujab, when he came to that little city, radiyallahu anhu wa ardaa, He was a blind man and he was old. He is the son of Imam Muhammad al-Abid, who is the son of Imam Musa al-Kadhim. Those are all our imams. Huh? People think these are just for other people. This is our family of the Prophet. This is our family. طيب. Then he went to the city and nobody knows him. And at that time, of course, if you tell them, I am from the family of the Prophet, they'll kill you right away. Boom, let's come here. So we can finish now. One down, few more to go. So he went to people there and he stayed. And they opened their house for him for 3 days. And he had nowhere else to go. On the fourth day, he had to leave. He said, I have to leave. They said, why? He couldn't answer. But after a few years, he told them, because we cannot take sadaqah. Because the family of the Prophet ﷺ cannot take sadaqah. Sallu ala Rasulillah wa alayhi. Is it fard upon a woman of the house to cover in jilbab and hijab whenever the cousin's present? You need to take your appropriate hijab in front of anybody who is eligible to marry you, whether it's your cousin or my cousin. What are the rewards of praying salat tasbih? Salah. Inshallah, the rewards are great, and there is a hadith narrated by through Sayyidina Abbas radiallahu anhu, that every time you say Subhanallah, walhamdulillah, wa la ilaha illallah, wallahu akbar, then you have a tree under your name in Jannah. So the more you do it, the more trees you have in Jannah. So everybody, by definition, Muslims are all farmers because they have lots of trees, inshallah. Those of you who do the tasbih, then they have lots of trees. May Allah increase your trees in Jannah. Could you give some advice on how to combine the deen with the dunya? The Quran gave all the advices. For example, if you are studying or working full-time, how do you find the time to acquire knowledge which is essential in your deen? How do you find the time to watch TV? How do you find time to spend to talk about any other things that are not worthy? There are so many things. If you divide your day, so I have to go to school 10 hours a day, and then I have to sleep 6, 7, 8 hours, let's say. That's 18 hours, so you have left what? But what, roughly 6 hours? You waste a couple here and there and all this. Can you like prepare 1 hour every day for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Let's try to do that. 1 hour every day just for Allah. Besides the prayer, the prayers, you must pray and all these things. Besides the prayers, you have 1 hour every day. And you say, for example, first I'm going to learn the Quran, or I'm going to learn then some hadith, I'm going to learn this, I'm going to go to scholars and ask them and learn on their hands. So inshallah, this is how it starts. This is how you combine it. Little by little, you know that you're remembered and you know things. What is the difference between asma and sifat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Can we say Allah has a light, but the meaning of light is unknown to us and is not similar to the creation? No. Because what we know, light is, as light, the English, light only means one thing. It means this. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we say, Allahu nuru samawati al-ard, and Allah knows what He means by nur, of course. But Al-Qurtubi and other scholars of Al-Sunnah, of course, they say nur does not mean light necessarily. It means the light of hidayah. And we don't say that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has light attached, because that means it's like makhluk and all these things. Asma means names, and sifat means attributes. The names and attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If one is to meet potential marriage partner in a public setting, restaurant for example, is it necessary for a third party to be present? I don't know why you're meeting a potential marriage partner in a restaurant. You should try to meet them in the restaurant of their house, because that's the best restaurant to meet first. It's inappropriate. I don't encourage you to do inappropriate things that the Sharia does not encourage. So these things are not encouraged. You want to meet her, you meet her with her parents' permission in her house, inshallah. And they should be delicate enough that they leave you some space. In other words, not totally alone, but some privacy, semi-privacy, we'll say, so you can talk and get to know each other on that sense. Does this have to be a mihram? Well, I mean, it's not a khalwa per se. It's what? Mashallah. In other words, it's not a khalwa, it's not in isolation with somebody, because when there are other people, even two sisters, it's not a khalwa, but it's not, I don't like that. I understand the importance of maintaining kinship bonds. Okay, good, not bombs, kinship bonds. However, one has been physically or sexually abused by a family member. Uncle, are we still obliged to maintain that relationship? I.e., uncle is staying as a guest in the house of a victim, or vice versa. No. The abuse is not in a position to disclose the nature of the abuse or the identity of the abuser to the family or community. This is a serious problem and needs to be addressed as such. Of course, the family, any family, should be very well aware that if they have limited space, they don't have privacy enough for their daughters and sons, they shouldn't bring anyone who is there's not enough space for them to accommodate. Now, how should you deal with that? May Allah help that person. If that victim is of physical abuse is, of course, in other words, we're not asking you to be friends with that relative of yours, but we're not asking you to have hatred for that relative of yours. Of course, what I don't understand, that sexual abuse, that's a wide and ambiguous word, and it implies maybe all the way up to adultery, and that needs to be dealt with then in that case. It doesn't matter what it breaks as far as family, because these are the limits, the hudud of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Is it allowed for us to recite Qur'an using mushaf whilst people have their back facing the Qur'an? Or should we sit in front of the room whilst reciting the Qur'an? So it's just, I don't understand that, the question. Recite the Qur'an using. You always are supposed to respect the Qur'an because it's the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as much as you can. Not to go extremes, in other words, but not to disrespect the Qur'an. So, whichever way, if you put the Qur'an high enough, you can come and sit anywhere you want, I think, in that sense. And Allah knows best. Of course, respecting the Qur'an and everything that has to do with the Qur'an is among the most important things that you can do. And not only respecting the Qur'an, knowing the Qur'an and practicing the Qur'an is very important as well. What could you do? What could you say to a person that says the Prophet ﷺ was made out of Allah's light? Literally, kafir. Because Allah is not a light, number one. And the Prophet ﷺ is not part of Allah. So what's the difference between this person and the Nasara who say that Isa is part of Allah? That's the same difference. But I don't want... The reason we went through this whole thing here, and I hope, inshallah, you benefited from it, but this is not a license for anybody to make fatwas and judgment on other people's expressions. Because some expressions have interpretations, and some people mean them different than others. And no one of us yet has reached the status of being a judge, a fiqh judge, or a judge on people's things. If you hear things that are not appropriate, please, I beg you, just because you have been to a 5-day course or maybe 5-year course, it doesn't entitle us automatically to be scholars. In other words, it doesn't automatically entitle us to give fatwas and hukum on these people. If you see or you hear something, you think there's something wrong with it, you should advise those people and step and believe that it is wrong and put yourself out of that until you know. More, if a Muslim does not pray for 40 days, does that make them kafir? No. But if they don't pray for one day, believing that the prayer is not fard, that makes them kafir. In other words, out of laziness is different than out of not belief. Out of disbelief, even for one salah makes them kuffar, walayyadu billah. What is the ruling on contraception? We already said that calculation, natural contraception is maybe permissible on others. My understanding is not, and seek your local scholars for more clarification on that. I was wondering why don't you start off a da'wah group in Rochdale to non-Muslims, well, first we have to start to the Muslims. To bring these people, bring people together and not further. And I don't need to start a new da'wah group. I want to refresh our all of our efforts and feelings as Muslim Ummah. The Prophet ﷺ started a group already. It's called the Muslims. 1424 years ago. And I don't see the need for me to start any new group. I would like to work within the Muslim Ummah and the other members of the human race to bring about peace, tranquility, hope, growth and opportunity for Muslims and others alike. It is hard to start one off ourselves because there is too much disunity within the majlis, masajid I guess, meaning too many people of different sects in the majalis. The best thing is that we unite on number one, finding excuses for each other and not immediately blaming each other. In other words, we should not have swords and these swords are just ready. If you deviate from me just a little bit, I'm going to just cut you off. We should have that spirit of patience and spirit of mercy and wisdom, hikmah, that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had in dealing with these people who were totally kuffar, didn't believe in Allah or the Day of Judgment. In the middle of the battle, you know, when the kuffar were fighting him, sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi, in the middle of the battle, the Prophet was making dua for them. Oh Allah, give him guidance. Oh Allah, give him this. If he was making dua, Khalid ibn al-Walid, Sayfullah al-Maslul, طيب. Khalid ibn al-Walid, you know, he was the one and behind Uhud. But look what happened then after that. So if up to that point. So if we want to just make dua and hate everybody right away among our own, I mean, you know, and other people look at Muslims and say these are people of hatred and narrow-mindedness and intolerance. And we are not that way. This is misrepresentation of the message of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi. And the message of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is a message of mercy and a message of kindness and a message of tolerance. And especially those who are in the tariq of tasawwuf, because those people are muhibbin, the tariq of those who have sensitivities and love higher spirituality than others. They should be much more open-minded and much more tolerant to insults and humiliations and everything. And they take it and they keep going. Because their souls is not what these people said. Their souls are attached, not detached. So, I mean, Inshallah, may Allah give us tawfiq. But we don't need to make new groups. We have enough groups as is. We need to reduce the number of groups and make it all into one group of Muslims. Because Allah named us one group, Muslims. In the Quran, وَسَمَّاكُمْ He named you Muslims. So we call ourselves Muslims. We have way too many groups. Because then we fear that people want to make it part of the group. Who's in this group? Then against other group or distinguish. We're not distinguished from anything. All Muslims are the same. Distinguishment with Allah, may Allah make it easy for us. Does the ridda fi'liya also apply to a hadith and dua? Yes, in the Arabic language. The hadith that says most of the hypocrites of my ummah are its Quran reciters. This hadith is extremely weak. Extremely weak. Why implications of reciters today? Can you point out to the brothers that Hawa alayhi salam is not viewed as the only blameworthy one in Islam, before the brothers get some bit, I don't know here, of strange ideas that only women are to blame for the happenings. No, Hawa alayhi salam, we love her and we honor her so much, and we don't blame all the women that we are here. This is the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Thanks to you. Of course, you are the reason. Sallu ala Rasulullah. Allah willed for that. And of course, I was telling some students in the US, I think a few weeks ago, do you know who the happiest man on earth was? Adam alayhi salam. Why? Because he didn't have a mother-in-law. That was easy. Sallu ala Rasulullah wa alayhi. She can't come and tell him, you do this, you do that. You know. If one's parents have broken ties with him, and that person has tried his best, but parents don't want to know him, what should that person do? Even though he hasn't done anything according to himself, he needs to keep persisting to have to establish ties with his parents and ask for their forgiveness and for their dua, regardless what he thinks, whether he's right or wrong, as long as it doesn't have to do with the rights of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And if they're telling him, in other words, I'm trying to say, because now we try to stretch these things, if they're telling him, do not pray, tell him, I'm sorry, I will pray, and I still love you, and what do you want me to do for you today? Every day. That's an example. Is good bid'ah permissible, reading Salatu Salam loud after every prayer, and after Jum'ah, etc.? Well, there is no hadith that says you cannot read the Salat and Salam on the Prophet anytime. So, any prohibition must have a text to say this is haram. You must have Quran, you must have Sunnah. In other words, only Allah Jalla wa Ala and the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi wa Alaihi can say this is haram or this is halal. And therefore, for that, if anyone wants to say haram or halal, must have a text. Yesterday you said that it is not permissible to joke about angels, akhirah, etc. But yesterday you joked about the hellfire and the angel Malik. Can you explain yourself, please? I did not joke about Malik alayhi salam. And Malik alayhi salam, he is the safeguard of Nar. That's how it is. He is the safeguard of Nar, and that is in perspective. And you need to be less zealous over that. You know, overzealousy is not good. Is not good. But making jokes, in other words, they went to Jannah and Allah told them this, and you know, and this happened. They went to this, and smart answers like that. That's degrading answers, degrading points, belittling the Day of Judgment, belittling the angels, belittling them, disgracing them, trying to disgrace them or to humiliate them. That is what I meant, inshaAllah ta'ala. Can you please explain tawassul in details again? I already explained it, and we don't have the time. Some brothers were not present. Well, that's too bad. They should have been present if they were concerned. If a person uttered a word, ridda qawliya, he or she would have left Islam. If she married 2 years ago, the marriage would be invalid, and the couple be committing sins. That's a serious problem. May Allah help. But anyone who departs Islam, departs Islam. I mean, you know, so things go. If someone throws on an ayah of the Quran in a dustbin, does that person depart Islam? If knowingly to humiliate that ayah, yes. And if it's unintentionally, didn't know, or didn't mean, or didn't see it, or accidentally, then Allah knows best. Make istighfar, inshallah, and there shouldn't be a problem if they didn't know about it. Are we allowed to spread our feet so far that it touches the feet of the person next to you? You mean in salah? I think you should pray comfortably. Don't pray comfortably. The prayer is you're standing in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You're not fighting anybody. Standing in front of the prayer, standing in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with all humbleness, huh? And following the sunnah and the sahih of the salah as it is in Bukhari. There's a long hadith tells you how to pray, inshallah, you follow that. Do you pray zakah on gold? I was praying one time in a masjid, and a brother next to me puts his feet right on top of mine. So I moved my feet. Then he keeps moving. Then I move my feet again. I guess some people are worried about their feet more than they're worried about their recitation in the salah. So these people should concentrate on the salah. Like some, like, I don't want to talk anymore about that. So it's salah, dear brothers. You're going into a different world. Concentrate on your salah. Concentrate that you are in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You are reading the Quran al-Azim. You are saying Subhana Rabbi al-Azim, prostrating in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Doing ruku' to Him, sujood to Him. Don't worry about the one next to you now. You should be in a different world. But if you're trying to wait anxiously, because some of those semi-jahils, because there's many nowadays, we read this few pages, or we learn through 4 or 5 lectures, and we assume we are already scholars. And what we do is we just wait with our gun cocked at anyone who makes anything different. Right away we shoot him. Some people, they just wait. At the salah, he's looking at you, and he's waiting for you. Just say, Salaamu Alaikum, so he can jump on you right away. And then he's going to tell you this. He say, why didn't you do this? Why did you do this? So you tell him why, and he's just waiting. His nafs is, you can see it. He's just waiting to deliver all these ahadith that he just remembered yesterday. And these people should be worried about how to perform the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in a nice way. If they had the true hadith and the authentic ahadith, they should first learn these ahadith and learn where and how do they apply. And then when they talk to their fellow Muslims, not to show them that they know better, and they probably don't know better. And they should understand also that they are not better just because they know. Knowledge doesn't mean better. Knowledge and practice. May Allah help us. That is usually all due to immaturity, childishness, of course, or childness, or childish behaviors. And not only that, arrogance. It's an inferiority complex. And those of you who took psychology or know psychology, you know that. It's a complex of inferiority. There's something, they're compensating for something inferior or an inferiority complex by trying to overshow that this is what you should do. No, Islam is da'wah. Islam is not trying to accuse accusations. It's not set of accusations. No. وَدْعُوا إِلَىٰ سَبِيلِ رَبِّكَ بِالْحِكْمَةِ وَالْمَوْعِظَ الْحَسَنَةِ If you have something good, then you should say it in hikmah and wisdom, wisely, and in a good way. Allah tells the Prophet, this is how you should do it. So how about us? So this is how you should do it. In a very nice way, in a way that is acceptable, because your job is not to get the others intimidated. Your job is to get them guided. You pay zakah on gold and coins and chains and these things. Ask your local Hanafi scholars, inshallah, about that. We watch football on TV. Players are showing their knees by wearing shorts. Can you watch that? If you memorize the hadith and the Quran and the sunnah, and you have like a lot of free time now left, then we can talk about that. For right now, I think you should be busy watching the Quran. If you come late to a jama'ah, salah, and you join when they are going down on sujood, but have not. Do you have to stand up a second? Salah, I guess. You're talking about if you join in the sujood. This is a fiqh question. Ask your local scholars, but if you join after the ruku', as you know, you have to make up the whole thing. Assalamu alaikum, brothers. Is it permissible to buy a house on mortgage? No. Riba is not permissible as far as I know, and Allah knows best. We don't believe in riba. What is the sunnah way of getting married? Is there such thing as black magic? Subhanallah, even magic, we made it black and white. That's because this thing is ethnocentric, you can tell, right? Because now, you suppose black is evil. So you have to hate black. More darker the evil. Is that how it is? Black magic. So white magic is okay? We don't have such thing as black and white. Dear brothers and sisters, black to us is not evil. Because Bilal al-Habashi radiallahu anhu was black, and he was one of the most honorable creation on this earth. Wa Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu was very dark, and he was the most honorable creation of this earth. And I can list you names and names of the pillars of humanity, I'm not saying only Islam, humanity, who were black. Black is beautiful. And white is beautiful. And yellow is beautiful. And all the creation of Allah is beautiful. Given that they are humane, and they are good, and they are not evil. It doesn't matter what they are. So, I would like to contest this black magic word. You can say evil magic if you want. Okay. Is there such thing as magic? Yes, there is such thing as magic. How do you protect yourself from magic? By reciting the Quran. Not by displaying all these weird figures and things and all that. Quran is the best protection. And Allah is the best protector. What is the sunnah in getting married? Sunnah way of getting married is that you look for a wife that has four things. Number one, Prophet ﷺ said in the hadith, look for someone who has deen. Someone who has wealth. That's good, no? Marry well, you know, I tell you right now. Because you marry well, you live happy. You don't marry well, you'll be on Ramsey Street all your life. Allah, Allah. Allahumma salli ala Sayyidina Muhammadin wa ala ali Sayyidina Muhammad. Of course, deen, wealth, beauty, and family descendants, in other words, family origin. These are four reasons you can marry a wife for, as the Prophet ﷺ indicated. For her deen, for her wealth, for her origin, and for her beauty. But he also, at the end of the hadith, recommended that you pick the one who has deen, because you'll be successful. Now, if you have one who has deen, wealth, that's good. Maybe deen, wealth, and or nice honorable origin, that's also beautiful. Maybe deen, honorable origin, wealth, and beauty. If you find one like that, please guide me. May Allah give you all ones like that. Tayyib. Assalamu alaikum. Are suicide bombers allowed? Ask those who are specialists. Ask those who are doing them. Does adultery take you out of Islam? Sins do not take you out of Islam, even if they are grave. But thinking that these are allowed to take you out of Islam, but apparently adultery is a grave sin that may be punishable by death. And those who exploit other people's honor and these things, may Allah protect us. Yesterday you said it is allowed to touch your parents' feet. Is it the same for your in-laws? If you want to touch your parents' in-laws' feet, what are you going to give them, a foot massage or something? Inshallah. Is your salah accepted when you read with your elbows uncovered? Is that like for a male or a female? I guess for a male, you know, for the female she has to cover. For a male, it is encouraged that you dress nicely and you do sunnah clothing. But this is not fard. In other words, would it be valid if you prayed with that? It would be valid, but you would be encouraged to follow the sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ in covering. But it's not mandatory. In other words, it would not be invalidated because of that simply. If you lift your toes, does your salah break in? If you keep lifting your toes, it will be broken, yeah. Tayyib. Is it allowed to spread your feet and salah over certain measures? Your feet touch the feet. We already answered that. Is it farad to wear the hijab and wear loose clothing and cover the feet and hands? For a female, I guess, it is farad to wear your hijab, covering everything, leaving your face, hands, and possibly just the feet. And better to cover everything and leave the face and hands if you can. That's what's fard. Allah knows best. If you have interest in your bank, but you stop them giving it to you anymore because you found out it's haram. Alhamdulillah, you found out now. What do you do with the money? Can you give it to the needy? You may give it to those needy Muslims, facelessly, namelessly, and without telling them who you are and what you are, and don't expect any reward for it, because this is a filthy money, as we view it. Is whey powder haram? Is it suitable for veterinarians and products? Vegetarians. I can't. If it doesn't have haram contents in it, then it's halal. I heard that when you say, Ya Nabi, you are saying that the Prophet... I already answered that question. I'm not going to get into it again. So seek yesterday's lecture or the day before. Should you consider a kafir an enemy after he mocks Islam? Whether a disbeliever mocks Islam or doesn't mock Islam, he is considered an enemy of Allah. But Allah is the creator, and you are the creation, and you are supposed to deliver the message of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to that ignorant enemy, in other words, if you want to call it enemy. So, and don't make him as such. Try to give him guidance, not try to kill him, in other words. That's what I'm trying to say. When the imam reads dua, can you say ameen, even if you do not know what the imam is saying? IG saying dua. You can, based on his niyyah, you may say ameen. Hopefully he's not making dua against you. Yes, you can, inshallah. How do you pay zakah? That's an obligatory portion of fiqh. We did that last year when I came here, and you have local scholars where you can learn the ahkam of zakah from. Are we allowed to touch menthol, methanol, ethanol, propane, etc.? I don't see there any prohibition in that, but not ethyl alcohol. Can we wear deodorants that contain alcohol? You cannot wear nor buy, nor purchase, nor trade, nor do business with anything that contains alcohol, whether it's small portion of alcohol or a big portion of alcohol. Are we going to see Allah when we die? We talked about that yesterday, and we said that Ahl-Sunnah have two different views. In any way, if that is the case, then would be without place, without limits, without distance, without eyes, without encompassing, without objection, without reflection, without limits, without direction, and Allah knows best. Submit these things to Allah. That's how you may be saved. Are you allowed to say, I don't know if these brothers, they just come today and they want to repeat the last 2 days. We can't do that. We don't have time. We already said that. If a man was angry with his wife and he said certain words to his wife out of anger, like what certain words? Cussing her out? That's wrong, of course. What words can a person say to his wife which make a person leave Islam? We already mentioned what ridda is, what blasphemy is, and if he says or she says any of these things that can take into blasphemy, that can lead to blasphemy, then that is blasphemy. You can't really make a general. You have to know exactly what the words are and all these things. You can't make a general judgment. Did the Sahabi or the Imams ask Allah directly, or did they do intercession, tawassul? Is it better to do direct or tawassul? I don't know why this is such a huge issue, and everybody is making capitalizing forces around it. The Sahaba radiallahu anhum did tawassul and asked Allah. And you ask Allah, and if you feel like doing tawassul, you do tawassul. In other words, some brother asked me, I don't do tawassul, but I have absolutely no disrespect for the Prophet ﷺ. Is that okay? Absolutely, that's okay. Tawassul is a fiqh issue. In other words, it's not fard. No one takes a gun. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not say you must do that. In other words, those who don't do that are just your fellow Muslims, just like everything. And people should not call them names or call them that you disrespect the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. There is absolutely no disrespect in that. It's a fiqh issue. Many scholars of Ahlul Sunnah said, I don't see it permissible, except by the Prophet. Some people said, no, we see it permissible, but by everybody else. Some people said, no, yes, there are variations. What we try to establish here through the Aqidah, that tawassul does not mean associating anybody with Allah. Tawassul is not kufr. It is permissible. But I didn't say it's fard on everybody. There's no consensus among that for that on the scholars. So those of you that don't do that, and some people said they call us, if I don't do tawassul, but I love the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, you should have the... First of all, you would not be a Muslim if you don't love the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But let's not make... tawassul is a fiqh issue of people have different opinions. If you do it, inshallah, with the limits and all these things, then it's okay, inshallah. And if you don't do it, that doesn't make you not loving the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam more. Make many things. Loving the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is following him, dear brothers and sisters. This is what... If you want to display your love to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alayh, then you need to follow the book and sunnah. Because Allah told us how we love the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. قُلْ إِن كُنْتُمْ تُحِبُّونَ اللَّهِ فَاتَّبِعُونِي يُحْبِبْكُمُ اللَّهِ. If you really say that you love Allah, then follow me, Allah will love you. Follow his sunnah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. This is if you love him. Okay? And the thing is that there is this unregulated anger against those who do tawassul. I don't know for what reason. And tawassul is permissible. And those people who are just angered by their political parties and they pouring their anger on those who do tawassul are Muslim believers, Muslims, just like everybody else, and tawassul is permissible. But they did not tell you that tawassul is fard. It's a matter of taste now. So that's the whole thing. Allah knows best. Ask Allah directly as well. Yes, you can ask Allah directly. You are encouraged to ask Allah directly. And you would not be a Muslim if you don't love the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. May Allah make our hearts filled with love for him. Is it true, according to scholars of hadith, that you can see, use weak hadith for blessings? For fada'il a'mal, yes, you may. Sometimes people say to other people, what up, dog? What up, dog? I mean, you know, this. Can this utterance make a person leave Islam? No, this utterance does not make people leave Islam, but this utterance is impolite. It is not sought by Muslims who have good manners. It does not make a Muslim kafir, but it makes a Muslim impolite. And a Muslim should be polite. And you should not degrade your fellow brother. You said we should celebrate the birth of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. I said you should be happy for the birth of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam every day. Very careful with my wordings. Can you talk about the blessed birth? Could you talk about the blessed birth of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam for 5 minutes if possible at the end? I talked about that in the Masjid Bilal the other day. So ask those people who were there and they will tell you, inshallah. If we have time, I don't think we're going to have time. Inshallah. Is it correct to say or believe that the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam comes to the majlis gathering and all these things? All these things. One, two. Is it okay to say I answered these things yesterday and the day before? But we say the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is Bashar and Nur. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is a human being, absolutely. But he is not just Bashar, he is Bashar with Wahi. And I mentioned that in the Masjid, in the Masjid Quba and Masjid Bilal a couple of days ago. So these things. Again, is when the name of the Holy Prophet ﷺ is said or heard, is it Sunnah to kiss the thumbnails? And did the Salafiyin, did the Salaf, i.e. the Sahaba Tabi'een, used to do this? We don't have narrations, authentic, in Bukhari and Muslim, that they used to do this. And this is a matter of personal preferences. Some people have these personal preferences, they do that. The sunnah is, when you hear his name, is to say, Allahumma salli ala Sayyidina Muhammadin wa ala Ali Sayyidina Muhammad. That's the sunnah, inshallah. And there's no problem with that. If the sunnah, is it sunnah to march out on the streets, on the road, on the mawlid? The sunnah on the mawlid, to follow his sunnah.